Okay. Oh, I've been recording already. I'll clap.
I'll press record.
Ready? 3, 2, 1. Okay.
Oh, hang on. Can we stop? I've got a metronome playing in my ear.
there's a button to disable.
Oh, I turned it off. Okay, fine. So that's going to get really annoying. I thought for a couple of seconds, can I ignore it?
Maybe you should have prepared and just got it set before we tried.
I thought I had. And plus, I thought I had another 15 minutes. Trying to look up all these games. There's loads of them. I was like, well, I know the Spiel des Jahres ones, but what are these?
Welcome, Peter, to this ragtag podcast.
Thank you. A professional outfit. That's how we've always marketed ourselves.
All semi-amateurish kind of thing. Yeah. Let's not try and blow our trumpets too much. Welcome, listeners. This is Devon Dice Podcast, episode 50, and this is going to be our special UKGE preview show 2018. It's been brought to you by our sponsors, Meeple's Corner, and was recorded on May 2018. On tonight's show, yes, it is all about the biggest wargaming show in the UK. And joining me tonight is... Sam.
Hi, guys.
And Lewis.
Hello.
And we've got a special guest on tonight. All the way from Belgium?
No, Denmark.
Denmark, close. Sorry.
Not really close.
Yeah,
nowhere near. All the way from Denmark. Peter Hofgaard Müller.
Excellent pronunciation. Oh, I'm impressed.
From the famed Tabletop Together website and Tabletop Tool as well. Welcome, yes. Peter.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Yes.
I'm trying not to mess up your entire podcast, but I'm not promising anything.
Sorry, we're doing that on our own.
We normally do it ourselves, yeah.
So, yes, we've invited Peter. Well, I invited Peter on because his website does provide this fabulous tool, as it's called, for organizing, sorting out board games demos and everything like that you want to view, see on a convention.
Basically helping people spend all their money and all their time.
Yes, it was very helpful when we went to Essen last year. My list was quite long.
It was a good list that you had.
It was.
And you bought everything on it as well, so that worked out well.
Well, no, not really. It was 4 pages long, I think. But yeah, it was very useful, very handy, because it lists everything, where you can, what stand you can find it at, brief description of it. And so, yeah, I found it very helpful. And you've now done one for UK Games Expo 2018, yes.
Yes, I actually also did one last year for UK Games Expo. It's mostly, since BGG don't officially make a list, my tool takes data from BGG, then Tom Hoth, which you probably know since you're from the UK, he does this BGG list that my tool basically gets the data from. So it's sort of all because of him that the data is actually there, because I'm way too lazy to sit and manually input everything. I'm a programmer by trade, so I just I try to automate things so I don't have to do manual things.
Sam knows all about that.
There's so many great people, isn't it, in the board gaming world who put so much effort and time to make my life so much easier. I do appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
Sam, you're still there, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm still here. Sorry, I'm still hastily putting together my... there's a particular game that I saw come up on Tom Heath's list, and I was like, oh, I must add that to the thing, and I've completely forgotten what it's called, what it's about, but I remember it being like, oh, I really want to go and check that out, and now I'm hastily going through all 11 pages trying to find it, because I'm not sure which one it was now. So, carry on.
Okay, so while he's doing
as
that,
you were,
we're going to briefly discuss the biggest news that's happened this week, and that is the announcements of the Spiel des Jahres finalists, or nominated finalists. So we got the three categories. We got the Kinga, the Kenner, and the Spiel.
Kinder.
We got Panic Manor, Dragon's Breath, and Emojoto. Something like that. I played. I actually played Panic Manor this morning.
Did you?
Yeah, I went to the Kingsbridge shop, notorious one, and they had a copy open there. So I was having a quick play with that with Isaac. It's actually quite good fun. So, and
what's that like? What's that like then?
It's a puzzle game where you're trying to shuffle pieces around in this grid formation through doorways and trying to get certain pieces into certain rooms without other pieces being in that room. So it's that kind of trying to explain like that kind of ball, rolling ball puzzle thing where you're trying to work it through a maze.
Yeah.
But it's just like 10 rooms, a 2x5 grid, and you're just trying to shuffle these pieces around and the pieces of different shape. Who's playing with their mic?
Sorry. I told you I'd mess it up.
You're just trying to shuffle the pieces through these doorways and stop others in there. And it's quite good because there's different pieces. Like there's a ball, which is an eyeball, that just rolls around and gets in your way. There's a snake that's quite long and zigzaggy and it just gets stuck in doorways. It's quite a little clever little game.
So is it a dexterity game?
I thought
it
was it's a dexterity.
Oh, okay. And then what were the tile bits that you were saying?
Tile bits?
So they were laying tiles or something?
No.
Oh, no, it's entirely dexterity, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. Oh, I don't remember saying anything about tiles.
I thought, I've just pictured it wrong. Apparently I just hear what I want to hear.
So, yeah. the Kenner nominees were a game called Clever, but it's got a German name. I can't remember what it is now. Heaven and Ale and Die Quacksalber von Quiar. Forgive up.
Called Quacksalber.
Quacksalber.
Something like the quack of something town. It's called.
It's like quacks. You know, we have like the saying of like, you know, oh, that person's a complete quack.
Yeah.
It's like a quack doctor, isn't it?
Yeah, quacksalber is like a potion. It's like a salve. Like that's where our word salve comes from. So it's kind of like the kind of, was it charlatan, kind of charlatan salve or charlatan potion from, what's it called? That town in Germany. I've forgotten the name of it now. But anyway, yes, that's what the game means. Mm. That's what the name.
Pretty sure Christoph's got Bedlin. A copy.
Yeah, he's got the German copy, and we were going to play it this week, but he couldn't make the Tuesday meetup. I was hoping to have given it a crack, but I think we'll be aiming to play it at the UK Games Expo now.
Yeah, that'd be a good show.
It looks quite entertaining. I think it's got sort of bag building mechanics to it, isn't it? And it's sort of a new little take on it. It's kind of bag building with push your luck kind of elements, essentially. I think that's quite exciting.
And Heaven and Hell, I was gutted because I stood in Christoph's shop. This is Meeple Corner owner, if you don't know Peter. Christoph's shop, holding Heaven and Hell in my hand, considered him buying it, and then I put it down. And then the nominations come out, and I went straight over there, and he's so cool.
Of course.
Yeah.
I actually picked it up at Essen last year.
Yep.
So played it a couple of times. It's a nice game, very well made, very well made. But it was a little too abstract to me.
Oh, it's abstract, is it?
Yeah, it's very. I mean, it's just a setting, but it's very like the mechanics are. It could be anything, but it has a nice look and very interesting. You can do like insane combos where you just get so many points that makes everyone else cry in your own nose and your own nosebleed. But
doesn't sound like my kind of game.
It feels very, very dry. I was expecting more from something that had ale in the title. I was expecting.
Yeah, that's a missed sell, that is.
Mm. Yeah. It is Michael Kiesling. So normally if he's involved, it's normally a very solid game. But it was nice. But yeah, it's not in my collection anymore.
Not that.
Yeah, I have to admit, it's kind of.
Yeah,
I have to admit, it's this year's kind of nominees, I'm not apart from Azul, which I love. The others, I just feel a bit meh about the rest of them.
They are looking also a bit average. I quite like the look of Quetzalba, but certainly I walked past Heaven and Ale multiple times at Essen, and I think I can remember looking over someone's shoulder a couple of times and went,
"Me too."
I mean, it's probably completely unfair, but I went, "Oh, that looks a lot like Castles of Burgundy." And I think I don't think it actually is like Castles of Burgundy. I think
it just looks like because of the hexes and the little
And that was enough to put me off.
And Clever is a little dice roll and write game. So,
interesting.
But so the actual Spiel des Jahres nominees for the Family Game of the Year is The Mind, Azul, and Luxor.
Luxor, yeah.
Place in Egypt. I'm going to test out the bleep machine for swear words because I think Lewis has got a few things to say about The Mind.
Ah, The Mind. what an interesting, will we call it game? I think it's a very strong term to use when talking about The Mind. And I mean, in fairness, I was expecting actually, because I was thinking I was going to record, and I happened to have played a truly, truly awful game just last week. And it's a really old game, so I was going to briefly mention it to have a little rant to get off my chest. And I thought, gosh, I can't believe, I'm so glad we don't make games like this anymore because this game's truly awful. And of course, that was Munchkin, a game I haven't played for like 12 years. And my friend really wanted to play it. And I went, okay, I haven't played for 12 years. Let's see what it's like. And wanted to shoot myself in the face by about round five. And an hour later, and we're all just faffing about. Anyway, moving on from that, everyone knows Munchkin. It's awful. And so I was thinking, well, you know, that's my little rant. And then Joel, you managed to pick up a copy of The Mind, didn't you?
Yeah.
Which is interesting. I mean, I think we played a game and then we had to check the rules and we all read the rules because no one would believe that we were playing the right rules because it wasn't a game. And everyone kept going, no, look, hand to me. You're obviously missing something. And we're not missing anything. It's literally you get dealt a hand of cards. The hand's bigger, the higher up the level you are. And without any communication, you have to just, the cards are numbered 1 to 100. No communication, no secret signals, nothing. You just put the numbers down in ascending order. That is the entire game. I mean, I don't know what to say. Like, anybody who's thinking about buying The Mind, don't. If you've ever been to a kind of one of those workshops, team building workshops, you know that game they start you off with, like the icebreaker, which is where you're all sitting in a group and you've got to count to 50 without anybody interrupting anyone and all that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Just play that. It's the same game and it's free. and it's just I don't know what to say. Like, it's just beyond rubbish. And then like, you've got these, like, there's some sort of extra bit, some sort of like shuriken throwing star thing cards that you can do, which I don't quite know why it's called The Mind. I don't quite know why there's a picture of a bunny on the box, and I don't know why there are throwing stars. Like, nothing makes sense in any of it, and there isn't actually a game there. I mean, I started playing it going, oh, yeah, a lot of people have been talking about this. Oh, it's been nominated for Spiel des Jahres. And I was like, shit, yeah, we really need to play. Oh, beat me. Like, we really need to play it. And I just couldn't believe it. I felt like it was a bit like, I said to Joel, I said, is this like the Emperor's New Clothes? Like, does somebody just need to say, hello, this isn't a game. Like, the Emperor's not wearing any clothes. This game isn't a game. This is just a joke. It's just absolutely ridiculous. I've never felt so strongly about a game. Like, I'm so negatively strong. I mean, other games, sure. Sure, I mean, they're interesting. Like, I don't get on with all of them. But, you know, you see, like, okay, I can see where you're going with that. It's not my taste. But this is beyond a joke. I cannot believe it was made. And if it wins Spiel des Jahres, then I don't know what's going to happen. I'm never going to even look at Spiel des Jahres ever again. And, in fact, I may just never play a board game ever again because it's an absolute joke. It's beyond ridiculous. If it wins Spiel des Jahres, I'm out. That's it. That's all I have to say.
Awesome. Right. Now, so we need to get The Mind in and win. So I can now...
So you can win some games.
Yeah, win some board games. Oh, dear.
Oh, I feel so much better now. I've got that off my chest. I've been holding that in for over a week, going, I'm going to say that for the podcast.
So, Peter, have you played The Mind yet?
I have not, no.
Okay.
But don't. I have also, no. I also don't think it's a game for me. It seems a little too, yeah, experimental-ish and not really game-ish.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's a fun experience. And
no.
For some people, it might be a fun experience. But yeah, also I agree with what I've read and heard that it doesn't feel like a game or seem like a game. It just seems like a social staring contest, which some people might find fun.
It's basically got that kind of, it's basically Hanabi crossed with the game, isn't it, in a way? Yeah. And it's just not the same as me. I didn't like Hanabi, and I really didn't like the game. So
Hanabi's actually good. No, but don't, that's really, really unfair, because you're giving completely the wrong impression to anyone listening. Not. Hanabi is a game.
True.
Hanabi's a game.
No, it's not.
It at least has some elements.
No, it's still just social deduction-y nonsense.
To a degree, but at least you can actually build some kind of game or some kind of communication or something over that between your group. At least, I mean, it's not amazing. It's quite. I've had some good games of it. It's not amazing, but this other one, The Mind. I mean, it should be called Nevermind. It's so useless.
That's the expansion for it. Nevermind.
Yeah, well, guys, I don't know. I cannot believe that it is a nominee.
I'd prepare yourself because I suspect it'll win.
Don't say that. Don't.
I want Azul to win, but I think
Mind can win. Oh, Azul has to win, doesn't it?
Yeah. My money's also on Azul.
Mm. If we look back to our kind of the grand conspiracy theory that they only give it to play games that will sell bucket loads, then there's a more than a hint of Azul being out for so long already that the Mind is kind of a bit fresher, it's cheaper, it's likely to be bought a lot more, therefore they'll make more money from having the Spiel des Jahres logo slapped on the cover. Yeah. So we'll see.
If that happens, then that would be the biggest mockery of Spiel des Jahres that's ever happened.
You remember
in board gaming?
I wrote an article for the blog 2 years ago, why certain stuff won, and I basically put it down to this game won because they can print more of it. There'd be more of it printed, so they can get their logo all over it, and they get like a commission, I think, or royalties for having their logo printed.
Publishers have to pay in order to put the logo on the box.
Yeah, and they pay something as well. They get pence per logo or something. So yeah, that was my theory with it. Didn't get shot.
The Mind wins joke. But...
yeah, I mean it's potentially cynical to think that way, but it'll be interesting to see what happens this year. Mm-hmm. I mean, I firmly believe Azul deserves to win the Spiel des Jahres, but purely on the merits of the game. I think Azul should win and would win, but I don't know.
Have you played Luxor?
No, that's completely fresh as well, isn't it?
Yeah, I think Azul is barely off the printers as I can.
Yeah. And only in German right now, I think.
Yeah.
Because they did a Kickstarter campaign for it some while back. And I remember backing it. Now they've done a new one, of course, because,
hey, look.
Look at us. Yeah. We can earn more money. Let's do it again.
It can't blame them.
No, it's clever. But it does seem very interesting.
So have you played it?
No, I haven't. I've just seen the videos and read the rules.
So you expect to copy any minute, are you?
No. I think it's Queen Games, and Queen Games and Kickstarter is always horrible.
I thought you backed it.
Yeah, I did, but it's still only out in German language. So I think officially I'll get it next month, but it's probably going to be more months. I don't know. Queen Games and Kickstarter are normally a bad mix.
Pre-order dates in the UK are about April, November time, I think, when they're expecting it in, which is way too late for us to even look into doing anything for it. So, which I think is a shame.
It's like a race game, isn't it? And you basically race into the center of the temple or something. Is that right?
Yes, it is. But it has these interesting things. You'll get most points, of course, if you get to the center first. Mm. But you can, like, the deeper you go, the more explorers you unlock. And then some tiles. Every tile will give you points or a set collection or something. But the tiles that are more interesting to get or worth more points will require several of your explorers to be there. So you sort of have to time it. And everything is controlled by this. You have 5 cards in your hand, and you can only play the leftmost or the rightmost card.
Mm.
Then you play one of those, and then you get a new card that goes in the middle. So, so you sort of have to plan a little ahead, and it's it seems super interesting. It's a light game, but but I liked it.
Well, that's an interesting take on the hand management type thing.
Yes, yeah, I think it is. I think it will be. I think it will be good. I'm hoping, at least, since I backed it.
As good as Azul?
Yeah, Azul is just so good.
Azul is a very good game.
And then, let's not to forget about, Pandemic Legacy 2 got a special award this year for being Pandemic Legacy 2.
I didn't quite understand what that even was.
No, basically, because Pandemic's been nominated a few times before, Matt Lee Cock, has been nominated for a couple other games before. They just thought, oh, we'll give this special award out to, I don't know, more public.
Like a lifetime achievement award.
Yeah, Hall of Fame kind of thing.
For a board game.
I think there's also, they also got a little bit of, not stick, but there were criticisms of having Time Stories nominated in the main draw a couple of years ago, wasn't there? And I'm wondering if they basically did it this way to recognize that kind of one and done style gameplay of a big game that wouldn't necessarily win the main event. I'm wondering if that's that kind of thing, because Pandemic Legacy is a weird, it's one of those kind of games that it's not a game that fits the criteria for Kennerspiel particularly, so therefore, but they wanted to recognize the huge success that and legacy games in general have been. So I suspect it's more to do with that.
Yeah, I think you're right. Also, they didn't. I thought Rise of Queensdale, the legacy game by Inka and Marcus. I thought that would be nominated, but it isn't even on the list or anything. So that ties very well into your theory on legacy games, because I think that is out in German.
It is out in German. Yeah.
Is it?
I've been pestering Christoph when he's getting copies in, but he says he can only get German copies in.
Yeah.
So after I was about to say, after playing Exit yesterday evening, I'm just, anything that those two touch, I'm just all over.
They're a brilliant design couple.
Oh, so good.
I love everything they make too.
Yeah.
You played an Exit game last night, did you?
I did, yes. Oh. Yeah. It's the abandoned cabin.
Oh, yeah. Mm. How do you do?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty well. I think we got 7 stars in the end.
That's all right.
Yeah, I was pushing for more, but, you know, my team were determined to keep taking clue cards. And so I was like, oh, fine. The clue cards then. Just let's think about it for a minute. No, I think we only took 2 in the end. And one of them, we kind of had already worked out what it had said on it. And it just kind of gave us a nudge to tell us we were going the right way.
Yeah. Cool.
It was great fun, though. Really, really good.
That was last year's Kennerspiel winner.
Yes.
Yeah. The whole series, wasn't it? It was like a whole series, that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was the first 3 games, yeah.
Yeah.
That was the spread. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they also made Village as well, didn't they?
They did, yes.
Yeah, that's another cracker. And that won Spiel des Jahres as well. Is that Kennerspiel that Village won, or did it win Spiel?
I think it was Spiel. It was before they brought Kennerspiel in, wasn't it, I think?
Yeah.
It was, yeah. Anything they make is just amazing, isn't it? So, yeah.
Apart from the colour choice in Village. Possibly the worst game for colourblind players.
Really? What, the cubes? Well,
it's like red, green, brown, and something else. Oh, it's all 3 of the main colours. There's 3 or 4 cube colours, and I can barely tell the difference between all of them.
Oh, dear.
I've never had a problem with Village. I'm supposed to be colorblind.
As bad as Sam is. Sam's just like chrome. Everything's gray to him.
Well, I just
quite that bad.
I just got shown some little circles with lots of little dots on, and said, "What do you see?" I'm like, "I see 27." They're like, "Really?" Like, yes, it just says 27 there. Like, where? It says 27 right there. They're like,
"Oh, there you go." When they do that to me, it was a case of I see nothing. Basically,
some of them I see nothing. Some of them, because they're deliberately set so people can't fake them.
Yeah.
So it's different things. Sometimes you see nothing. Sometimes you see something. But yeah, and they're going, really? I was like, yes, that's what it says. Like, I don't know what to say. And apparently that meant I was colorblind, but I've never had a problem in real life. I think I see color.
You've never had any trouble game
night. No, I've never.
So
done any problem. Yeah. Oh, anyway, that's my dull. That's my dull life over with. That's and get back to games.
Yeah. So that was the Spiel des Jahres nominees. Good luck to all those. Money's on Azul. I don't know about the other one. And Heaven and Hell, I reckon, for those. But I've not played all of them. But
people are saying good things about Heaven and Hell, aren't they?
Mm.
Except me.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so we're not voting for Heaven and Hell. I think the Quacksalber looks like good fun. Looks like my kind of thing. I'm going to try and hunt that down.
I say Christoph's got a copy. He might be able to play at UK Games Expo.
Yes, I'm going to be all over that. I like Push It Up. I like Bag Builders. You know, how could it go wrong?
And history was made yesterday, boys, wasn't it? Did you finally meet, or was it not history made?
It was history made, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, very briefly. Yeah. Post our team of choice making it to the Premiership final for the third year in a row.
Guilty.
In rugby, by the way, that is Peter, sorry.
Yeah, so we went to the Exeter Chiefs semi-final home game. And so Sam and I, even though we've done many podcasts together, have actually never met in person because Joel is our connection. So it just so happened as we were chatting about when we're going to do this podcast, and I said, "Oh, I can't do Saturday. I'm at the rugby unless it's the evening." Sam said, "Oh, I'm at the rugby too." And it turns out that we've been going to the same rugby matches, but not without even knowing each other. So for the last a couple of years. So we finally arranged to meet, and we got to have a good chat, didn't we?
Yeah. So it wasn't Harry and Meghan, it was Sam and Lewis coupling
exactly.
together. right, move on to the main topic for tonight. So, UK Games Expo, lads. Everyone excited?
Yes,
indeed.
So, as I'm aware, it's Lewis's first show.
It is.
Peter's third show.
Correct.
And Sam and I can't think how many shows now I've been to.
This will be my fifth, I think.
Yeah, I think I've been to one when it was at the old Palace. What was it, Clare? Can't even think what it's called now.
Clarendon Suites.
That's it, Clarendon Suites. So, what's that, probably about six, seven years?
Yeah, that would be six. Cause the first one I went to was the first one at the Hilton in 2014.
Yeah, it's probably right then. So yes,
do you guys going to get like any trophy or something, like, you know, like a watch for like dedicated lifetime?
Just a couple more grey hairs.
Yeah, just more. I don't know. Over the years, I've just seen this show grow from a tiny, really confined exhibit of loads of people coming together and playing board games to this massive convention that is now taking over not just one hall in the NEC but two halls in the NEC now, which is just outstanding, I think, really.
Yeah, I mean, that's I'm excited. It should be awesome.
Yeah, I envy you your excitement for the first one. I mean, I am really looking forward to it, but it's one of those things where I think each time you go, it's like, I know what to expect now a little bit. It's just like the excitement factor's kind of gone, but I'm still anticipating it, if that makes sense.
I don't know, Sam, you knew one hall, but do you know two halls?
Well, last year there were two halls. We just didn't realise that one of them was open and you could go and get for the entire show.
Yeah,
gaming space, and then they were like, but hall three was open the entire time with a bar and food and
that's entire time. I think it's open again, isn't it? That's still open.
They've got two because it's the one next door, because last year it was some dinosaur exhibition thing in there, so they had to have hall three instead, which is why they had that problem, I think, of not being able to sort of tie the two rooms together. But this year, the one right next door.
So is hall two going to stay open for open gaming?
I'm assuming they're going to do the same as they did last year. I think it sort of stays open as long as the NEC stays open, basically. Right. I think it was till about 11 o'clock or something, I think. So that's pretty good. It's just that we didn't know it was there.
Cool. So, yeah, for probably Peter's benefit, really. Sam goes as exhibitor helping out Meeple's Corner stand most of the time, though, don't you, Sam?
So, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I go and help Christoph from Meeple's Corner, which is the bit I love the most, actually, because you get to basically meet everybody that comes. You know, so many regulars that always come back. Ones you know the names of, some that you just don't, but you recognise.
Yeah.
It's quite fun.
Nice.
Yeah, and now, because Meeple's Corner do sponsor the show, if I haven't mentioned that already, I just hang out around there half the time, dump my stuff off, and then go back out into the wilderness, hunting down more stuff to talk about, so... Peter, what are you looking forward to then at this year's show?
Besides some games, as I always am looking forward to, before I went to UK Games Expo, I've only been to Essen, which I've been 5 times now, I think. So it's just so very nice that it's so different, like in different pace, and I love the focus on like all the talks and all the extra things, and there's a lot more focus on actually just hanging out, having a beer, and playing games. Where Essen is more frantic, running around playing games.
Yes,
it is. So it's that I really enjoy the sort of contrast it is to Essen, and that it's also like almost perfectly timed because this Essen is far away, and then can do this. And first, I'm just looking forward to going again. I'm going with 4 or 5 other Danes this year, so we're gonna hang out, drink beer, and play games.
Yeah,
it's gonna sweet. Be
great. Sounds good. I might tag along with you.
Yeah,
I was gonna follow Joel around. Yeah, I was gonna follow Joel around, but that sounds way more fun.
Well, that's the thing with the UK Games Show. I don't know if I've said it probably many times before on podcasts, is that it's not about the new games coming out, because it's usually just the same stuff that we've already seen online already and it's already been out. They're getting more of that coming in with the new introduction of British publishers hitting Kickstarter quite a bit now. So there's actually a few games being there that for the first time being released or being demoed, but it's always just about it's the show itself and the people and seeing people that you see every year and having a good chin wag and then playing games and then seeing the spectacle of it. It's just great, and I really look forward to every year it comes around.
I remember Essen, you were quite a bit down on the fact that it didn't quite have that social element. I remember you commenting on that. So it'll be a new experience for me into the more social side. And if there's beer involved, then that normally works out well for me.
But it's that sort of thing. When we were at Essen, you just go there, you buy stuff, you go back to your hotel and you play the games with the people you're traveling with. The gist of it. But here, you go there, you meet people, you wander off, you meet more people, you sit down, you play a game, you have a good chat, and then you go off in the evenings, and you, as you say, you can go to the open areas, which they're just getting right again, because like the last couple of years have been a nightmare for trying to, well, was it 2 years ago? They had it in the hotel, an absolute nightmare trying to find a place to sit down and play games, because the RPGs were still going on. But I think last year they had the hall that no one seemed to know about, but the people that went in there. And now this year, it seems like they're really trying to get that open gaming experience still down after the show. So, yes, I can't wait.
I mean, it is a real challenge for them, isn't it? Because of the sheer quantity of people there. It's like the fact that it grows every year, they're onto a losing wicket either, no matter what they do, because there just doesn't seem to be enough space every year, despite their best efforts. So, I mean, it wasn't helped last year with the Lady Masons had half of the Hilton booked or something. So they couldn't actually use half the Hilton.
Well, I think that's down to the Hilton themselves just double booking it. It's like they know this is happening. They know it's massive, because when it was just at the Hilton, there was so many complaints of like there's so many people in here that it was actually getting dangerous. So that's when they moved to the NEC. But we're still using the Hilton as a bolt hole, as the RPGs and things and everything else is going on in the Hilton. So they know that's going on. And then they go and say, oh, yeah, you lot can come in as well and use the facilities and have rooms. And it's just like, whoa, no. We're here first.
Put your foot down.
Well, they should have done anyway. But
don't mess with the Lady Masons. I think.
Well, yeah, Joe. Yeah. I'm pleased that you didn't do that, Joe. That gonna...
Oh dear, I could have been swimming with the fishies probably. So games, Sam, did you do your list?
Kind of, yeah. I still can't find that game I was trying to find. So hopefully one of you guys will
maybe
mention
it. Get so there's a few remember. Games that I've noticed that seems to be out, maybe being sold. They haven't got demos next to it. So that's the great thing with Tabletop Tool, is that the games listed will have a big sign saying this is a demo version only.
A big red demo sign, yeah. Like saying, if you don't want to do demos, then you probably shouldn't do this.
No, so these are... didn't have demos next to it, so possibly out to buy. One is called Flicky Ships. This is actually touted...
Flicky Spaceship.
Spaceship, sorry, Flicky Spaceships. Touted to them at last year's show in the designer panel part they do. And
someone's dog does not like spaceships.
Yeah, apologies for my dog going absolutely nuts at nothing in particular there.
Flicky Spaceships, don't do it!
It's horrible,
no,
horrible.
No, stop it! No!
So, yes. Anyone on anyone's radar? I actually haven't got the time.
I saw about it. I can't remember which video I saw it on now. But, I kind of ignored it the first time, purely because it felt like it was maybe something a little bit like Flip Ships.
Right.
Last year. But I've got a feeling, is this a redesign of something, Flicky Ships? I can't remember if it was like there was a video I watched, might have been Toucan Play That Games preview video, and it had a banner come up saying that this won an award at UK Games Expo in 2014. And I was like, what? But it's a brand new one, so I'm just trying to work out whether it's something old or not.
It is a dexterity game of flicking stuff around.
Do you love text?
Yeah.
Technologies available.
Might be a different one that I was thinking
of. It looks like, Joel, what was that space racing one that you've got? The
Power Ships.
Power Ships. It looks like, yeah, it looks like Power Ships meets Catacombs.
Right.
What it looks like from what I've been reading it, which works for me on both levels. So. Although I think it's not racing, I think it's actually fighting spaceship-wise, and then you basically sort of flick your little... You've kind of got a big board with lots of little hexes on your turn. You kind of flick your spaceship to a new location. It obviously lands in a new hex, and then at the end of your turn, you get to buy some upgrades for your spaceship. At the start of your next turn, that's when you get the resource for the hex that you're on.
Yeah.
So it means that sort of other people can knock you off your hex before it comes back around to your turn. So if you see someone about to get something really good, you can try and make sure you knock them off and take it or whatever. So, you know, so, I mean, yeah, looks like it could be a laugh. It might not work, but definitely give it a go.
I mean, one of the big ones for me was if we've stopped talking about Flicky Spaceships anyway.
Yep.
One of the recently added publishers that's arrived, which was kind of low fanfare, no one really paid attention to it, but for me, one of the big things of Essen is the Asian games.
Oh, and, yes.
Taiwan board game designer. There,
yeah.
Number one on my list is Lord of the Die Angler Roll and Write fishing game. Well, I think it's Roll and Write. It's Roll anyway. I'm not sure if it's... Yeah, it's Dice Roll Auction bidding game with fish. Sounds awesome. Got to get that.
Lord of the Die Angler.
Yeah.
That... I just need to buy it for that name. See, yeah. That is a good name. The Mind is not a good name. Lord of the Die Angler, bloody brilliant.
I don't know if I've even got it on here. Maybe I missed over it. But yeah, so they are going to be there, and they've got Rescue Polar Bears, Data and Temperature.
Have they?
Yeah. So if you didn't go to Essen or you missed it at Essen, you can buy your copy there.
Well, someone bought the last copy at Essen, didn't they, Joel?
Yeah. I know.
Along with everything else at Essen, apparently. But
you make out I brought this. I didn't. Dear. And what else? They got another one there. It's actually on my list. Let me get back.
Is it the Galaxy Wrestling Federation?
That's the one.
Galaxy Wrestling Federation.
That's another name. I just like, yeah, I like the sound of that name.
And they always tend to be quite affordable as well, the Asian games as well. So yeah. That's another reason I'm looking forward to seeing their stuff.
A bluffing card game.
And they always have awesome artwork. Like all of their tile and board game designs, like the artwork and components are always really great as well. What was that little card game with the songbirds, isn't it? Songbirds. Yeah. Really quick, really simple, but interesting. And the artwork was really nice as well. And it's, I think Mike picked that one up, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Anything on your list, Peter? What's your most number one looking forward to seeing?
Well, the top one is of course, Century Eastern Wonders.
Of course.
The second game in the trilogy of the Century games, which... Mm. It should be there in like limited numbers. I think it was like last year, Sentry was also there, and you had to frantically run around to see what stores had it. And some stores had it for high prices and low prices, and I panicked and bought the first one and got
off,
of course. But I'm definitely looking forward to that. I think I loved the first one, and I love the idea of that you can play the second one separately or sort of merge them together to a new game.
So that's a really interesting concept. I'm looking forward to seeing how it works. I'm looking forward to seeing how the game plays on its own, but I'm also really looking forward to seeing how they merge the two together and what kind of game that turns out to be.
Yeah. And then it's sort of another game that's snug in, sort of under the radar, is it's a game called Raids, which is actually the publisher, but it's designed by Matthew Dunstan that I think he's a great designer. He's done a lot of awesome games. And I remember seeing it at Yellow. They have sort of this closed off weird press area where they had like a prototype of it. And it looked gorgeous. And it has a great designer name. And it has Viking themes, of course.
I was about to say, is that the real reason you like it?
I sort of have to get it.
Yeah.
But that should be for sale there. So that's it's definitely one I'm gonna grab.
Yeah. What sort of mechanics is in it?
It's at least from what I saw in the prototype, it's sort of a where you travel a ship round in like a circle, and you stop somewhere and pick up some Vikings, and then you stop somewhere else to kill a monster, and then it's sort of the order in which you do these things. I think it was like Tokaido, where the last ship gets to move all the time, so it had so it seemed like a gamer's version of Tokaido, but I'm not sure.
Yeah,
well, that is interesting.
Yeah,
I'll put that on my list.
You should.
Yeah, it's on my list as well.
Yeah,
already. So
another one I think it's been out. I'm not quite sure, but it's by the Board and Dice guys. In Between.
Oh yeah, that two player.
Yeah, it's getting really good buzz by people that have already played it, and I just thought, well, might as well pick it up and try. It's going to be cheap because it's only a small package. So
it's on Amazon for £25 if you're interested.
Probably, I think it's cheaper than that elsewhere.
You'd hope so, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
This is going to be another really annoying one because there's In Between was a sort of inspired by Stranger Things, isn't it? It's that kind of up and down, in between kind of thing. But there's another one coming out that's got a very Stranger Things vibe to it. I saw that. Oh, I can't remember. It's called Something Last or Last. Oh, I'll find it. But there's another one that's got a very, very evocative of Stranger Things, and I think we'll be interested in talking about that. And I think that's at UK Games Expo for a demo. Leave it with me a minute. Hasty Googling is
you. I'll be back.
Yeah.
Well, while there's a pause, it's interesting that you mentioned about the Century series, Peter, because we've actually just, I've just done a video review on our YouTube channel.
Yes, I saw that.
Yay! Oh, you're the view.
I'm the viewer.
He's the one view.
Yeah. I wondered who watched it. Yeah, bro. Did you like it? I was just trying to sort of compare the two.
Yeah, I did. I so much want the Golem edition too, but it's like, I already have the other edition. So it's like, and I know that actually the one thing that put me off buying the Golem edition, even though I have the other one, was actually the thing that they probably won't make a Golem edition of Eastern Wonders.
And then that's
Then I would have, so.
I know, that's what's annoyed me. So I was looking at them, and try and decide which one to get. And then luckily managed to get Golem Edition as a review copy
Nice.
from Meeple's Corner. So I thought, well, that'll do, because I was looking and I thought, I really want to get this game, but I want the Golem Edition, but yes. I want the benefits that go with go with the Spice Road Edition.
Yes.
But I can't have both, so I was like, well, I'm not buying either. I'm not going to buy either. And then when that came up as a potential review copy, I was like, well, I will have it as a review copy. Go on then.
But now I just dish demos in general, but there is Chronicles of Crime, if you've heard about that.
Yeah.
From Lucky Duck Games. I was lucky enough to get sent a prototype of it, and it's such an amazingly good game. It's kind of like if you mix together Sherlock Holmes, Consulting Detective, and Time Stories, except it's better. It's better than both, and I like both games. But it's so if you like these figure out who killed him with a time constraint, then you should totally at least give it a look there, because it really really took me by surprise how good it actually was.
It's lucky for Lewis, I backed it on Kickstarter. So,
yes, Joel. I knew there was a reason I was friends with you, and I love the fact that you bought everything you ever saw.
Yeah, I mean, as soon as it came up, and I thought, okay, I'll do it. And all throughout the Kickstarter, I was like, kind of doing, should I stick with it? Should I not? And in the end, I stuck with it, and I was like, right, let's just do this kind of thing. So there is going to be a demo of that going on. I'm going to pop by and check it out. That's Lucky Duck Games. Which are also
I was about to say, is Chronicles of Crime the one with the virtual reality goggles that you do on your phone?
Seems, I was also very, this is a gimmick, I'm going to hate it. But it actually, you don't have to use the virtual reality goggles. You can just look at your phone or iPad normally. But the goggles actually, it does something. It's a little silly, but you sort of feel great because it's only, like when it's not all the game, it's just when you're at a crime scene and you look at the crime scene and then it's only one person doing it. And basically everyone else, there is all these, I don't know, 50 generic cards with words on them. So one person is looking at this and trying to relay the information to the other ones. Oh, there's a knife down there. And everyone else is sitting frantically trying to see if there is a card with a knife or something similar. So it has this, in Time Stories where you play and some people will look at a card and try to relay the information and stuff gets lost in that sort of talking.
Yeah.
Which I think is great. It's a great for, you can go back and look at it again. Another person can look at it. So I actually think it works a lot better and it doesn't feel gimmicky.
And it's for a reason and it's got good mechanics around it. Yeah.
The app is actually very, very clever in that you have to scan QR codes and stuff, but sort of, it makes things easier to relate to each other, and it also sort of keeps track in the background of, tells you, hey, now you spend so much time, so now it's evening, so now maybe the bar is open that wasn't open before, so you can now go there and talk to people. So it serves a real function that a game without the app couldn't do, right? And sort of the inspector will call you if you spend too much time on something and gives you a hint or something. It's very, very well implemented.
Plus, it uses QR codes to scan in. And as I said, they can actually just, because it's all done by app form, they can just upload a new scenario.
Yes.
And it will use the same stuff before, but in different orders and different situations. Yes.
It's kind of like Time Stories, but you can just basically, you could get an entire new case, right, without having to buy an expansion. You could just get an update. Yep. Which is, I think, is clever.
Yeah. Presumably they'd make you pay for the update, though. Someone's got to be funding it somewhere.
I mean, in the Kickstarter, they've done two expansions. Redwood? No. Some kind of, 80s vibe, Stranger Things kind of scenario pack. So, yes.
Should have backed that.
Lucky Duck Games, who did that, got another demo of another game that got coming out in Kickstarter soon, which is called Jetpack Joyride, of that famous app game.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
So,
what's that all about?
Well, Lucky Duck Games, that's what they're kind of focus on games is that they take IPs from apps, because the guy who's behind Lucky Duck was one of these app designers, and so now he just takes IPs and turns them into board games. So yeah, that's the thing for it. He's just looking for the next one he can adapt into a board game.
Talking of that kind of Chronicles Crime type sort of type thing, cooperative one, storytelling and stuff. One of the ones I'm really interested in going to have a look at. It's only a demo one, but there's a game called Holding On: The Troubled Life of Billy Kerr. Have you guys heard of that one?
Oh yeah, it's really weird.
Yeah, like a cooperative worker placement puzzle solving story type game. It sounds really interesting.
It does,
like really unique. So I'm interested to go and have a look at that.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, I saw that. I was reading about it going, this seems very strange. I couldn't quite work out. And it's got like hidden movement and stuff in it, or something. No, not hidden movement. It's like the hidden story bits, and you've got to try and uncover it or something. Is that right?
Yeah, you've got like sort of memories that you've got to try and unpick from, this guy's in a coma, and you're basically sort of trying to unpick the recent past to find out, you know, where he came from, what happened to him, or whatever. Or whatever it is. I can't remember exactly what it is now. But essentially, you're trying to solve this puzzle of this poor guy who's fighting for his life, kind of thing, is the idea.
Yeah, so he had a heart attack on a plane or something, didn't he? And then
So I'm just out of sheer curiosity, because it feels like it's a really, you know, unique kind of experience, and I'm all in for those kind of things.
Try anything.
Peter, anything else? Any demos?
Well, I have lots on my list, but that was sort of the main thing. I was so bummed that I didn't back Dice Hospital when it was there, because I actually remember last year they had a demo, and then it was on Kickstarter half a year ago or something. But they only have it as a demo, which is a shame, because it actually looked like a very nice game. I love dice placement games. Games are great.
I'd have liked to have maybe tried to pick that up this year, because I didn't back it on Kickstarter for a couple of reasons, but I wanted to, but I think there was something else out at the same time, and put my money in two places.
Seventh Continent at the same time.
That was all my money for
it.
Yeah. Yep. Gone.
I didn't back Seventh Continent, and I hate myself for it.
Oh no.
But it was so expensive, right? You're like, I want everything, and it was like, but then it's like what, $150 and shipping? It's like, this is not going to work. So I'm hoping that like in half a year, when everyone's played them through and they're like, nah, then they can't really use them anymore, and I can buy it.
So
I'm waiting, biding my time.
I think in half a year, that's when all the new expansion stuff comes out there.
So. Yeah, it's true. A year.
Peter, you have dropped the ball. Seventh Continent is awesome.
Yeah. I know.
I backed Dice Hospital.
Of course you did.
Of course I did.
Yeah,
whatever.
When's that coming? That coming soon, then, if they're demoing it?
They were hoping, he was hoping to, and he was getting all our hopes up, saying that if you're going to UK Games Expo, there might be a chance I can get copies flown over for you to pick up, and then they could have like 100 on sale, which then could enter them into the awards for UK Games Expo, but I don't think that happened. Well, it didn't happen, because I've got nothing like that. So it was a shame. They were really hoping to get it at the expo, but it didn't work out for them. So never mind. But yeah, another one looking forward to. But yeah, I remember saying, it's like that was on Kickstart, and Seventh Continent was Kickstart, and you said something's got to give, and so you dropped it. And
yeah, that's right. I think I made the right choice still, but I do love dice placement as well. So I was hoping to maybe get a play of that. Never mind, we'll see. But
another choice, isn't it?
Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah. But in this case, it was a lot easier, because one cost a really lot of money and the other one. But another one that I found out about today, two that I found out about today that I know absolutely nothing about, is from, there's two games coming from Inside the Box, who made Subterra last year.
Yep.
They are releasing two games from Rainer Knizia.
What?
Which I've never heard of. One called Odyssey and another called Robot Wars, and I have got absolutely no idea what they are. So I'm just like, wow, okay, let's need to go and have a look at that.
Just a couple Rainer came up with over the weekend.
Yeah, exactly.
Should I ignore those or something like that? Maybe.
Isn't...
Oh, yeah. Odyssey.
Yeah, they both come up as unpublished prototypes on BGG. Yeah. So they're kind of fresh, but I'm looking forward to seeing what exactly they might be.
Yeah. Well, anything that guy touches just seems to be so good. I don't know how he does it.
Well, at least, I mean, even you know, at worst with Knizia games, you're generally looking at a good average, aren't you? So, you know.
Well, exactly. Well, that's the thing, but he's got such a high hit rate, I think. Like, and he's made so many.
Mm. It's a good scoop for Inside the Box, though, because I think obviously they started out kind of printing their own titles, which, you know, to mixed success. But now they've moved into the printing, you know, publishing other people's games.
Mm. Yeah.
Then I think that's you know, they've got an ethic of trying to do good production value and stuff like that. So it feels like this could you know, these two games could be, you know, company making games almost.
Maybe.
So yeah, it'll be interesting.
We played Subterra, didn't we, Joel? It was
still got it.
Yeah. We should play that again. It was entertaining. Although I think it was very atmospheric. The tiles were so atmospheric that they were so dark you could barely see what was on there. So you really were squinting in the dark.
It's better when you've got a black light showing it up, which is quite
funny. Yeah.
But
yeah, because they glow, don't they?
Yeah. Other than that,
there's one other that's going to be demoed. What's that?
Exploriana's going to be demoed.
Oh, yeah.
it's a cracking game.
I'm going to go check it out because I've still not played it and you guys keep talking about it, so I've got to go and find out what it's about.
Take ours.
Yeah,
because obviously the Kickstarter, they recalled, but I think we predicted that was going to happen, didn't we?
Yeah.
It's a very good game, I think. I think it just sort of highlights the kind of... the lottery and the kind of black magic that is crowdfunding a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess, you know, some people could level some criticism about their kind of marketing ploys, but I think it's a bit of pot luck when you do a Kickstarter, and that is a really good game. Mm. And I think hopefully they'll redo it. I'll be one of the first to back it, and hopefully it'll get funded, because I think it's a cracking game.
One last one I want to talk about, Lifeform. It's only a demo, but it's Hall and Nothing Productions. They did a Kickstarter for this not long ago, which did all right, but it's kind of Alien.
Oh, it's the Alien film, isn't it? I remember the Kickstarter, yeah.
Well, there's been several on Kickstarter, and this one came after the last one. What's the last
but
one?
Wasn't Nemesis. This one... Wasn't this one more like Alien than any other? It was like the entire storyline of the first Alien film.
I believe so. I listened to a podcast.
Like, literally, you've got to get to the escape pod, and there was like an emergency message. We went to investigate, and then, yeah, I'm pretty sure it was pretty much the story of the first Alien film. Is that right? Is this the one?
I think so. Basically, I listened to a podcast, Who Dares Rolls, and he had the designer on, and he was talking about it, and they were just... talking about Aliens film, and he was just the designer's a massive Aliens fan. He could tell you everything from all the movies, kind of thing. And I just thought, well, if he knows this knowledge,
he's made a game about it, he should know.
Yeah, if he knows all this, then this should be good. And I'm kind of gutted I didn't back or check out the Kickstarter more. But I would like to go and pop along and try and just have a taste of this and see if see how it does. So.
Yeah, it's a semi co-op, isn't it? One person plays the alien, and the other players play the crew, isn't it? And then one versus many. That's the word I was looking for.
There's another one that you'll be interested in, I think, Lewis, depending on your thing. Given your tastes. From One Free Elephant. Who friends of the show? I don't know if they listen at all, but we obviously spoke about Awesome, one of their games. Was it last year? But they're releasing, or not releasing, they're demoing at the moment a two-player economic game, micro game called Micro Brew.
Oh yes, yeah.
I'm all over that. Yes.
Yeah. Looks quite good.
Let's have a little look.
Yeah, it comes in a very small tin.
Yeah.
And is basically a sort of worker placement-y style game of trying to become the most skilled brewer.
Done already.
Yeah.
I'm in. Beer, economic, worker placement, little tin. I'm in.
Boom. Have you played Brewcrafters, by the way?
I've got it, yeah.
Oh, you got it. Yeah.
Yeah, Brewcrafters is interesting. That's a similar sort of idea. It was a bit more engine building, and you know, you sort of upgrade your brewery, and you got to collect all the resources and things. I quite like it. It's got a few kind of problems with it. It can be quite so you can do sort of upgrades, but then. And so you can start producing more beer and things like that. But then there's also this kind of whole section of the game where you're competing worker placement style to get the right resources. Mm. And it's a lot of the time almost impossible to be collecting in enough resources such that you can constantly be running two brews. Mm. So you kind of feel a little bit like, well, that upgrade cost me shed loads and I hardly ever make any kind of use of it, and you kind of it's all a little bit tricky because there's also you've got limited storage and things like that as well, so it's not even like you can just save it up and do it the next turn. So it's but you know, it's about beer. I'm all over it.
No one else has got anything else to say on games and demos. We're push on.
There's one Joel, there is one more. I just want a quick shout out to a friend of the show. I think you guys you may have met him last year, Lee Broderick. He worked on the Pegasus stand for the last couple of years.
Yeah.
With a very nice beard and moustache. he is going to be working at Dragon Dawn Productions this year, actually. And I can't for the life of me remember what the name of the game that you'll remember from them is. Successful. I can't remember what it's called. I'll find out. But anyway, he's going to be there. But one of the ones that is being demoed is his own design. So Lee's designed his own game. By the look of it, wow. And I've only just seen it in the list tonight, and it's called Meisho. Please correct me if I'm wrong in pronouncing that, Lee. It looks, I don't know, can't see anything about it. It's a solo game, hand management solo game, because he's well into his solo games, is Lee. But it's actually got a very pretty sort of looking cover. So
Meisho.
Just a sort of quick shout out to Lee, and I'll pop around Dragon Dawn and check it out.
Mm. Yeah.
No, can't see it. Cool. So, yes, other things happening at the show, shows and entertainment stuff. Do you do those, Peter? Do you go around there?
Yeah, I do. Last year I didn't do that many because I got caught up in Star Wars Destiny tournament that took way too long.
Oh, dear.
Don't get caught up in collectible card games. That's
just don't do tournaments.
Oh, exactly. No.
That's my golden rule, Peter. I don't even look at them because I know what would happen to me.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I'm banned from even looking.
Yeah, let's not go down. That's a dark road to go down.
Exactly, yeah.
But I didn't do that many last year, which was a little bit of a shame because they were a lot of fun. I really enjoyed the Dragon's Den thing, and which is just fun to see people pitch games and
Wyvern's Lair.
Wyvern's Lair, exactly. Yeah,
yeah. That's where Subterra was signed 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Yes,
was it?
Yeah,
I remember seeing it 2 years ago. So it's fun, and there was also there's actually lots of games from two years ago that were like have been either published or been on Kickstarter and stuff. So it's fun to sort of see it from the beginning and until the end. And then there's of course all the sit up and shut down talks and the Dice Tower things. Sort of, I don't think that people sort of hype them a bit too much, but they're still fun to go to. It's an enjoyable experience.
Yeah, I find them entertaining. I think they're funny.
Right, 1 minute.
Yeah, yeah.
Sam?
Yo.
Right, you got to go, have you?
Yeah, I'm going to bail. Right. I've got to get back to putting my house back together. So very good to speak to you, Peter. Hope you to too. See you at the show. And
sure.
I'll catch everybody later. Enjoy the rest of the show.
Yeah.
Awesome. Cheers, mate.
See you later, Sam.
Thanks.
Hey, cheers, guys.
Right, we'll get back to it.
Tell you what, bloody part-timers, eh?
I'm still here.
Oh, shit.
I've just stopped my recording. Right, I'll see you later.
I've got it recorded. That'd be awesome. Right.
So, yeah. Well, he didn't think he was going to sneak away early without some sort of comment from me, did he?
It seems like everyone that has a big podcast seems to be doing their own podcast in the seminar bit now, which we didn't get an invite to do one, but hey, probably too big for them.
Yeah, too big, if anything.
They couldn't count for the numbers of people that are going to turn up.
Exactly. By the time my mum's there, your mum's there, then it's full, isn't it?
It is. But we do plan on doing our own podcast recording.
Yeah.
Probably better. In a hotel. So,
yeah.
Yes, that'd be fun. As usual, the Dark Room is going to be there doing several shows. I love the Dark Room. I'm going to have to introduce you to the Dark Room, Lewis. It's in the well, hotel room where I turn the lights off.
I know we're sharing a hotel room, Joel, but it's quite the invite.
How do I explain the Dark Room? It's basically a live action, type interface game?
Is that what?
You know the old typing game? Before there was real graphics and things like that on the computer where you said go
like
north.
SpectreQuest. Yeah.
It's basically that live action. You pick four options and he basically shouts and swears at you for being idiots for an hour. And it's just hilarious. And even though the jokes are the same, the people are not. And it's just brilliant.
Oh, you've told me about this before. Yeah. He goes through like an adventure, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And gets the audience to shout out what you should do.
Yep.
Right. I'm going to be all over that. So, yeah, you've told me about that. I've done it every year.
It's been there, so I just had to keep doing it. He's also doing Dark Room for kids, which is quite good because he doesn't swear. even though people do bring their kids along to the over 18 version, and then he realizes that there's kids under 16 there. And gets embarrassed, but then carries on swearing because he warned them. And then he's also doing Dark Room Till You Die, which
sounds intimidating.
Is basically, it says we keep going until everyone is dead.
Right. Okay.
So, don't know. That's new to me.
Hopefully figuratively rather than literally.
Done the Dark Room yet, Pete?
I have not. No, but it has a... It has been on my radar, so yes. Maybe this is the year I have to do it.
We'll all go together.
Yeah, get yelled at. Sounds like an
excellent. Yeah, sounds like my idea of a good time.
Also, Pandemic Live is back. Not for the faint hearted.
Pandemic Live.
It's basically play Pandemic. He has three guests come up onto the stage from guest list. And then...
So we're on there. Are we top of that list? Are we?
No. And then he invites a fourth one up from the audience intermittently to take turns on playing Pandemic. And stuff happens. It's quite outrageous. So,
really?
Yes.
You're making it sound very dull.
I don't want to spoil it. It's like Pandemic Legacy.
Right, okay. All right. Okay, so it's a game of Pandemic where exciting things happen in the middle of the game.
Yes.
Okay.
So, maybe go to that as well. Nightmare Live is back again. We went to it last year. It was good. It was okay. Probably wouldn't do it again. So.
Nightmare? Like, as in like the kids' TV program, Nightmare?
The kids' TV program.
We are going to that. How would we ever not go to that?
Because I've done it last year and it was all right.
I think you weren't thinking about it properly at the time. that's like the greatest 90s kids TV program ever made. Do you get to wear the helmet?
Yes.
Well, in that case, we're definitely going.
Oh, dear.
Do you know Nightmare, Peter?
I do not know.
So imagine the most... budget 90s kids TV programs where basically one child puts on this like helmet with big horns on, but like so big it covers their entire head, so they can't see what they're doing. And then they basically go like into a room where there's like basically a blue screen, and then there's like really rubbish graphics are then like kind of put over that kind of blue screen, and the other team members of the person with the helmet on has to shout and tell them which way to step and which way to go. And if they step on the wrong bit, like a dragon would come and eat them, or they'd fall off a bridge or something. It was amazing. It was cutting edge at the time, but I mean, looking back, it was awful. YouTube, just truly bad, but just, we have to go. Just has to be done. Do you know how many years of my life I spent dreaming of going on that TV program? I'm going to that nightmare live.
Okay.
I'm not sold on the concept now.
Yeah. Whoa, Pete. I don't think it's through. I've explained it badly.
I don't think you can explain it badly. It's badly to explain.
No, it's amazing. It's budget and amazing. It's like the ultimate 90s kitsch.
Oh, dear. Anyway.
You need to use... Peter, before you say no, just do some YouTube. That's
no,
all I'm going to say.
No, don't do some YouTube and it will put you right off. If you're going to do it, you might as well just go and watch it for the old George Oppin. Really?
That is the level of it. It's so bad. I have to do it. I really want to wear that helmet.
The thing is, the people that...
My sisters would be so jealous. If I get a picture of that helmet on, me and my sisters used to race home from school every day to watch Nightmare. Oh, amazing. Sorry, what were you going to say?
I'm excited. What makes a show is the people that organise and run it. The people that actually act in it and things like that, they actually have to like ad lib half of it because you just don't know what the audience are going to do or what the person on the stage. So that it did make it. They were really on the ball and quite witty with like things that just happened.
Did they have the guy? Is the guy there that old man?
I don't
presumably know. He's really old now.
No.
He wasn't that old, I guess. No. Was he? Yeah. He could still be alive.
Maybe.
They should get him.
What guy?
The presenter guy. Oh. Like, he had, like black hair with, like, speckled grey and just was really just never seemed to really care when people would just die. Like, the kids, it was a really weird kids' TV show because they're like, oh, yeah, you made him fall off the bridge. Your mate's dead now. It's like, what? That's there to kids.
No, he's not there, I don't think.
Other
ones, You Can't Polish a Nerd. It's a comedy sketch. Comedy stand-up guy. It seems.
So do you have to pay extra for these shows?
Yes, you do.
How much are they?
They vary in prices.
About a tenner each?
Yeah, some are about £4 or £5.
All right.
Some are tenner.
Just setting up my budget. So we've got the dark room till you die. Do you reckon you could go to the dark room and the dark room till you die, or would the dark room ruin the dark room till you die?
No. It's the same format each time. As I said, it's just the audience makes the show and how he reacts to the audience. Same jokes he uses all the time, but they're still funny. And then the other one I spotted is called the Jolly Boat. Or no, I think it's the Jelly Boat. Is it Jelly Boat or Jolly Boat? Anyway, it's basically two guys that make up pirate songs to other songs, parody songs. So yeah, seemed interesting.
A couple of beers along.
Yeah. They vary throughout the weekend. There's all different times for those. So check it out. Check out those shows. Didn't mention Peter?
I don't think so.
What's this here UK Starship Bridge Simulator?
I was just coming to that. So basically, you work as a team, you each have your own station, and you've got to drive this massive starship, kind of Star Trek ship, for a mission.
Well, we're just definitely doing that.
I'm up for it. I could never get anyone to join me with it.
I'm all over that. Peter, we're signing you up. Helm?
Excellent.
I'll be the captain. Joel, you can be my first officer. Peter, you're on helm.
I'll just push buttons and yell.
I feel like a Viking knows how to navigate. There's one
true,
thing.
True, very true.
Yeah.
True.
Then what are we missing? Weapons? Tactical?
Yeah, probably weapons, tactical, navigation.
Communications. We need a bigger team.
Yeah.
They need a bigger boat. Oh, this is it. We've got to sign people up. Right. That's it. Does that cost?
Yeah.
That doesn't matter. Do you have to book in or something? Let's just book it now. Should we book it now?
We're lucky now. Well, because when it first came up 2 years ago, it was just booked out straight away. You couldn't get a spot.
Yeah, definitely.
But now it just seems like people, I've done that. Don't need to do it.
I haven't. Let's do it. Let's book it now. Book a spot right now. We've got our crew. We've only got three of us. We'll work something out.
We'll grab someone walking by.
I could probably manage a bit of communications while being the captain, I imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I just want to say make it so. Or, as I can say to you, Jonathan, number one, I'll be in my ready room.
Earl Grey, hot.
Yes. I better get
Do I have to do the Riker kind of sit down trope?
Of course.
Yeah.
Hitches up his thing and then side straddles the chair.
Correct. Never sit on a chair properly. Yeah. And do loads of really odd dramatic poses where you stare into the distance dramatically.
Oh, dear.
But in fact, if you don't, you're fired. And I'm the captain. I can do that. Yeah. That's a good point. We need security. Someone will have to escort you out. I haven't got security. Wharf. We need a wharf.
Oh, dear.
Yes, we are doing that. I'm putting that on the list. I'm really excited now. This sounds way better than Essen already. Someone just opened a shop. This is way better.
It's
literally living childhood dream. Who cares about board games? I'm bored of board games already. I'm going to be a captain of a starship, and I'm going to go and play Nightmare. So done. It's my weekend sorted.
Lots of other things going on. We've mentioned tournaments. If you're really into one game particularly, go and do a tournament.
No.
It will probably take up the weekend. A lot of people just go to do the tournament because they usually hold the national finals there.
I think Fantasy Flight Games have Europeans for like all their major games, Netrunner and X-Wing and all that. So that's like an insane amount of people.
UK playtest or playtest UK, basically where lots of people can like just sit down and get people to play their kind of early advances on their games that have been designing. I've done that a few times. It's interesting, some of the stuff you come across.
I know I talked about raids before the game. I know Matthew Dunstan will be there at some demo table demoing some of his games, prototypes. Mm-hmm. So if you're interested in seeing some of the upcoming things from him, could also. I'm definitely going to do that just to see what's going on.
Not for that.
And one thing I absolutely do love now when I go is the street food vendors.
Yes. Nice.
Absolute great touch. When they first started doing the Hilton, it was you can only buy food from the Hilton, which was limited and expensive. And then next year, I remember they said, oh, now you can order from Domino's and you get 50% off. And Domino's just didn't know what hit them.
We'll have 3,000 pizzas.
It was literally constant. They said they just never done so many orders that weekend. It was unbelievable. And then after that, they introduced the street food part outside the Hilton at the front gates. And they have some pucker food there. What I like, Becky's Barges. Got to try that.
I love a bargee.
Yeah, the Mighty Whoosh, I think it's called. So it's everything awesome. Just dipped in batter and spicy as anything.
I love batter.
It's another reason why it's better than Essen.
It is. The
food at Essen is horrible.
Although at Essen, they had this really amazing, like, spirally potato thing dipped in batter. And that was dipped in batter, and that was good. So... Yeah, you have to give them that. Like, we can't take that. We can't take that away from Essen. No. But yeah, this street food does sound immense.
Was it dipped in batter? Was it just? I think it was just fried, wasn't it?
But no. It had a really light, like tempura type batter on over the top of it. Yeah, it was immense.
Yeah, probably about 2,000 calories on that stick as well.
It was like a whole potato, like spiraled out. I think I had about two a day.
I think I didn't need to anything. I just looked at people eating them and like I have no idea how to eat this.
kept on poking our eyes out with the stick.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But yeah, but so yeah, street food's great, and they keep introducing more. I think there was some outside the NEC entrance, pizza wagon and things like that. So yes, and the last thing I want to get onto is the awards. They've got the shortlist up for the awards for this year, and just wanted to see what your thoughts are with it.
What are my thoughts? So, best abstract games, we've got Rubik's Flip by John Adams Leisure Limited, Thieves by Merlin Games, and Okiya by Blue Orange.
I've played Okiya.
Any good?
It's a lovely little two-player game. A bit like tic-tac-toe, but nicely done.
Okay. Yeah, I could. I mean, Blue Orange makes some cracking games. I do love Photosynthesis. I've not played the other two or come across the other two. Rubik's Flip. I mean, I'm already out. I've never enjoyed a Rubik's Cube, so.
I thought you'd be one of those guys that'd be able to solve it in less than a minute.
Yeah, I mean, I could at school. We all had Rubik's Cubes and we all just learned how to do it. And we used to, you know, can you do it while you hold your breath? Can you do it, you know, behind your back in the bath and all that kind of stuff?
We're talking about a Rubik's Cube, aren't we?
Yeah. Can you do it with the left hand? but, you know, I've never really got that. People used to love them, and I was kind of like, I did them. I did a Rubik's Cube because I don't know how to do it because other people did. But I've never enjoyed a Rubik's Cube. Not my kind of thing. Peter?
No. Anything abstract is always a little too abstract for me normally. And
yeah,
I usually find with the awards in UK Games Expo, it's whoever's got the game out there most, if you know what I mean, demoed, and then you walk around, you see lots of people playing that same game, and it's usually because it's amalgamated by how many people vote for it, and then there is a panel that also does it. But I mean, if there's been like 10,000 votes for one game particular, it just goes to that. And it's whoever's got that game out there in the masses being played, I feel.
Yeah. And they've got best children's game, which is Brainbox People at Work by the Green Board Game Company. Don't Be a Donkey by John Adams Leisure Limited. He's getting in there, isn't he, John Adams? And Rhino Hero Super Battle by Habba, so that's one done. Super Mario Hero Super Battle. Next category. I don't need to play the other two. I know. Best family game: Untold Adventures Await, Iguazu by Habba. Sorry, Untold Adventures Await by Hub Games, Iguazu by Habba, and Nomads by Ludonite. I've only played Iguazu from them, and Iguazu is fine. We played it at Essen. Yeah. Everyone's raving about it now. Have you seen, Joel? There's loads of reviews coming out of it, and everyone's saying how great it is. And it's like, I mean, it was fine. We had a good game of it, didn't we? It looks amazing. It's quite a funky little kind of slidey.
I think it's kind of gimmick that's in it, kind of thing.
Yeah, but I mean, I didn't dislike it. But I mean, I can't at the moment quite understand why people are raving about it so much. Did we? I feel like it's a bit like the mind. I think we need to read the rules again to see if we're playing it right.
I had the same feeling. Untold uses Rory story cubes, I believe.
Oh, yeah. My wife sometimes uses them in her class. She's a primary school teacher, I should clarify. Takes them to work and uses them. Yeah, that could be quite interesting. It's certainly worth checking them out, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It's good to have the list so we know which ones to look out for to vote for. And then best miniatures range, somehow Warhammer 40,000 is there. Or is it Dark Imperium specifically? Is that? I've not been following Games Workshop. Did they release a new game, have they?
Probably. Let's skip that. Yeah. Don't do miniatures.
Yeah. Wild West, Gunfighter Red Oak by War Cradle Studios, and Lion Tower Miniatures RPG miniature range by, again, Lion Tower Miniatures. So, I don't know about that. Best miniature rules, again, I'm just going to skip that. I don't know anything about that. I'm out. Best new accessory, just some big book of battle tiles. I think that's not our sort of thing. I think it's miniatures again. What we got here: best new board game in brackets American style. Joel, your favorite Rising Sun, my favorite Bunny Kingdom, and the OK Arena for the Gods.
I love Bunny Kingdom too. It's great.
Shut up. Shut up.
I like Bunny Kingdom.
And I actually dislike Rising Sun, but I'm a crazy Danish person, so
I was just messing about there, Peter, so I should explain. So I hate Bunny Kingdom, Joel hates Rising Sun.
Perfect.
And we both think Arena for the God is all right, but only because Joel picked it up for cheap, so yeah, we wouldn't have paid the full.
Peter, you should go back and listen to my massive rant I had on my Rising Sun.
On Rising Sun.
I'll have to do that.
Yeah. This is the longest rant I've ever heard anyone have about a board game.
Do you like King Domino?
I do.
You might not want to listen to that then. I rant about King Domino. Oh no, listen to it. It's actually really funny, but it's,
Was that, that's episode 48, isn't it?
I believe so, yeah. So check that out. That's quite funny. I don't know about those. I got a feeling Bunny Kingdom might win that.
Yeah, of course it will.
I don't get the distinction between American style and Euro style. But I would never call Bunny Kingdom an American style game.
No, it's not what I picture as American style at all.
But I think it will win because it's going to be simple.
Yeah, family that's good fun. Table presence.
It's going to have good table presence. It's bright, it's colourful. Families can sit down and play it quite easily. It's got simple mechanics and it's got lots of little bunny rabbits. Where Rise and Sun,
and far too many end game scoring cards where it completely upsets the whole game and why have we just spent 2 hours counting loads of stuff when all our points are coming from these cards? Stupid point.
Get over yourself. Arena for Gods is all right, actually.
Yeah, that was all right.
I haven't tried that one.
It was fine.
It's a bit of a.
Take that, kind of.
It's not take that, it's just. Like a arena fighting game, isn't it? It's clever. It's nicely done. So I reckon Bunny Kingdom will take that. We'll see.
Your vote, Peter?
Bunny Kingdom.
Yeah, I agree. That's going to be the one that takes that, isn't it? It better not be Rising Sun.
So best new board game, Euro style.
Yes. Yes, my favourite game at the minute, Photosynthesis. And I'm not being sarcastic, I do actually love Photosynthesis. Century Spice Road by Plan B Games. And Great Western Trail. Joel, you're a big fan of that at the moment, by Stronghold. Those are some good games.
Yeah, I think out of those three, Great Western Trail is my favourite.
Photosynthesis is my favourite. Yeah?
Spice Road's just to be different. I never really got into Great Western Trail. It's a little too. It's a fine game, but it felt overly complicated. There's like so many things going on that I'm not really connected, at least in my head.
Yeah, I can see where you're coming with that. But I mean, once you play 2-3 games, you start getting into it. And I actually believe, even though I would like Great Western Trail to win, I think Photosynthesis will get this. Mainly,
I don't know. Century Spice Road.
It would be weird. It would be weird if Spice Road won, because if the Eastern, whatever it's called, the next Century game was also there, then that would be completely confusing to everyone.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Everyone would be like, "That's last year."
Yeah, it's like, what? What is this?
I hope Photosynthesis wins it. I just think it's such a nice, clever, fresh, fun game.
It is
simple, really, really easy to teach, but with some significant depth.
I also like that it sort of feels and plays like an abstract, but it's like a thematic abstract.
Exactly.
It sort of makes sense. What you do makes sense in a thematic setting, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's nice. I don't have can't really come up with another game that feels abstract but actually has a theme.
Exactly, I know exactly what you mean. It's good. I really like Photosynthesis.
I think it's got a good chance of winning. If Century Spice Road is everywhere, and with its partner, the second one out as well, people might get those two confused, and that might get the most votes. But if Photosynthesis is out there as well, amongst the crowds, I think possibly it's got a good chance of winning it.
I hope it does. Mm. Really good game. Right. Best new board game strategic style. It's got Civilization by Gibson's. It's the new one, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Warhammer Underworlds Shadespire by Games Workshop. Never heard of it. probably. Is that, maybe that's the one I was thinking of, is the new games. But anyway, Mini Rails by Modeus Game Design. Modeus. Gosh, I've not played any of those.
No, they're a bit too... Well, Civilization is a big, long game. The Warhammer Spadestar is kind of a miniature game, but you're using the deck to play down.
I played it a couple of times. It's nice. It's like it's sort of, and then Games Workshop is sort of trying out smaller style games, right? So it's sort of their, I would say, their version of X-Wing. So it's like only have like 4 or 5, 6, 8 miniatures or something like that, and you have a team and you play. But it is card driven, so you have like cards you play that will make you move your character or attack, and then there's like points and objectives. It's also takes like half an hour, 45 minutes, or sort of. It was okay. It was nice.
Okay.
Well, that sounds all right. Yeah. Much better than the 12 hours I used to spend playing 40K when I was a 13-year-old.
Been there.
Yeah, God. And you had to paint them as well. God, I didn't do painting.
You've got to paint these as well.
Have you?
Yeah, but it's only 4 or 5 or 6.
Yeah, I could probably manage some sort of awful paint job on 4, 5, or 6 when I was painting 140 orcs and 240 Gretchens. That was a nightmare, to tell you that.
Actually, you don't even have to paint them because they're sort of, the teams are different colors anyway. So if you buy one team, it's a different color. So yeah.
Done. Perfect. I'll take it.
It was at Essen. There was demoing at Essen.
Yes.
Was
there? Yeah.
Ah, that's it.
And Mini Rails was also at Essen, as I remember.
It was just...
But it's so small, I just didn't see it.
We've got a best new card or dice game. We've got Picoco by Brain Games, Legend of the Five Rings, Fantasy Flight, Fantasy Realms, WizKids.
Well, Legend of the Five Rings has been out for a while.
I'm going to say, it's not exactly new. They just redid it, though, didn't they? They just kind of revamped it. Don't know much about anybody else. Know anything about much of those?
No. Nope. Brain Games.
Let's move on.
Okay, they done that Ice Cool, so hopefully.
Is that Brain Games?
Yeah.
Well, that might be fun then.
Mm-hmm.
Ice Cool's entertaining. Best new expansion. Okay.
I haven't even heard of Dracula's America.
Dracula's America, Shadows of the West, Hunting Grounds. It's by Osprey Games. That's a British company. Yeah. They're based outside Oxford.
Maybe it's an RPG.
It must be, because I was at there. I saw them at Essen, and I feel like I've seen all their catalogue at Essen, because I went through most of what they did. I don't remember them being Dracula's America, and I can't imagine they've released a game since Essen, and now they're doing an expansion. So I think it must be an RPG, is it?
Also, Queen Domino and City of Splendor.
Cities of Splendor. Yeah, Cities of Splendor. That's the Splendor expansion, isn't it? Obviously, yeah.
Yeah.
And then Queen Domino. Yeah, fine.
Far better than King Domino.
That's not hard, though, is it? It's like saying, I think that one's better than the Mind.
At least you got. I think you have to play now with Queen Domino. King Domino, you can just sit there and just let the game play for yourself.
Yeah, that's it. Peter, did you hear that? Joel is the is the official Southwest King Domino champion. He entered the tournament and won. Southwest of England, King Domino champion.
Episode 48. Check it out.
Very impressive.
Yeah, episode 48 is an amusing episode. I recommend you listen to it.
You'll hear how I got there.
It's a long story. I make sure you're settled and sitting comfortably. I had to sit through it. You guys should as well.
Oh dear. And then Party Games. Who Should We Eat by WizKids, Gutterhead, Gutter Games, and When I Dream Repost.
Who Should We Eat was there last year, right? At UK Games Expo. From a smaller some random guy.
Thinking of a different
random
one.
No, maybe
the show. The show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh yes, yes, exactly. Show, yeah. That's exactly what.
Because we played that, and that wasn't not very good at all.
No, but then it's not the same. Never mind.
Yeah, but Who Should We Eat? I've not played that one. Have you, Joel? Have you seen anything about it?
Nope.
No. When I Dream is meant to be really good. That gets good reports.
Yeah, I've heard of that one, yeah.
Gutterhead just sounds like Cards Against Humanity style. When they name the game another after one. The company, or the company's named after their first game, you just know it's going to be not great.
It's a red flag for...
instant flag waving.
Yeah. Although, interestingly, the mind isn't made by the mind, so... That joke will get old at some point. I'm just going to keep using it.
Next up are role-playing games, which we don't really...
No, don't know anything about them.
Nope.
Role-playing expansion.
Yes.
That's it. Yeah, that's...
Some interesting choices for awards.
Oh, some good games in there.
We'll see, shall we?
Yeah.
And that's mainly it.
Lovely job.
Just like to say how ridiculously overpriced the hotels are becoming in and around the area of the NEC.
It's, indeed.
You need now need to take a mortgage out to stay. considering staying in Coventry next year, which is only a 10-minute train journey to the NEC.
That's a good little tip.
Yes.
You've been doing a lot of research on this, haven't you?
The wife has been doing a lot of
research. I was about to say, nothing drives the focus of a husband more when budget restraints are being applied to their board gaming.
Had a nightmare over the last 3 weeks trying to find a cheaper hotel. So the family could come this year, but then it was decided they're not going to come because it will save a bit of money. So, But yes, it's... ridiculous price. I remember when first going to the NEC, I could get a hotel room for like £20 a night. And now it's ridiculous.
Well, in the 1960s, Joel, £20 was a lot of money.
Oh. Yeah, I think I just sucked it up and paid for, since I'm coming in by flight anyway. So got a hotel by, or a hotel at the, one of the hotels that's right by the airport.
Right.
That's also insanely expensive, but it's only two nights, and so it's okay. And I don't have to walk very far and worry about taking trains and stuff.
But you can probably make up all that money that you spent on getting cheaper booze over here, can't you? Cheaper alcohol. Isn't alcohol really expensive in Norway? Is that right?
In Denmark, but
Norway
is very expensive.
That's awful, isn't it? I nearly said something really bad there. Oh. Denmark.
But no, it's...
You see through this Viking.
It's almost similar to the prices in the UK. So.
Oh, is it?
It's not so bad, yeah.
Where is it? Is it Norway?
Norway. It's very expensive, you can only buy it in, special shops like that.
They all hop over the borders.
Don't go there.
I wasn't planning on it.
That's about it, I feel, gentlemen.
Yeah. Lovely job. Cool. I'm really excited now.
I'm excited now.
I'm more excited than I was an hour ago.
Peter, I meant to say, I actually did spot you at Essen last year. You were walking past me in one of the halls, and I was chatting to someone at the time, so I was like, I can't be rude and say, hold on a minute.
No.
I did.
Plus, in Essen, if once you walk past someone, it'll take you about 5 hours to try to turn around upstream and start going back to you might just like shout as you pass each other, and then we'll actually get to each other in another hour's time. I'll go round. We'll go round in the current.
Meet you in hall 7.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. So, I think we should try and meet up this time. Definitely for sure. A game and a beer.
And we're definitely doing that because he's our helm.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, I need Wesley Crusher there.
You can fly a spaceship drunk, can't you? Of course you can.
That is a well-known fact.
Yes,
that you can. Yeah, autopilot.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, how do you think Wesley got so far? Like this.
It's true. It's true.
Anyway, right. Let's wrap this up.
Let's do it.
So, thank you, Peter, for joining us.
My pleasure.
You can plug it away if you want to before we go.
Oh yeah.
You pretty much already said most of it. There is the tool that a lot of people are using, and find useful. And yeah, that's what it's there for. It's just to help out. And then, of course, I also have my Tabletop Together site, which is a review site where I do board game reviews and write some articles and do top sixes instead of tens, because one, I'm a little lazy, and two, then it's a little easier to go through. It's mostly the site is actually mostly for like casual and new gamers, so it's not like in-depth, very technical reviews. It's more for new gamers that just really don't want to spend 2 hours watching a YouTube playthrough video, reading a very long article. That's sort of the premise of it. Then, the tool is for the more geeky ones. But
Is the tool on the website as well, or do you use somewhere else?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. So
yes, Joel, I knew that. I was.
It's a very useful tool as well. If you're going to, what is it, Essen, UK Games Expo, Origins, and
Gen Con.
All
the big ones.
All the big ones. And hopefully, this year, UK Games Expo holds third position for more than a week in the attendances for game conventions.
Yeah.
So
it is game convention season, though, isn't it? There's a lot going on at the moment. Yeah.
It did help hold it. We had third spot for a week, and then Origins came along and said, oh, look, we've got one more attendee than you have.
Yeah. What was it, one?
It felt like it.
Unbelievable scenes. Well, I'm going this year, so we'll go up by one. We'll beat them.
So, hopefully it does that, and we can have a third spot, which would be nice. But
perfect.
Awesome. Thank you, gentlemen.
Good job.
Thank you.
As I said, check out next show, hopefully being live recorded from the UK Games Expo in a hotel, restaurant somewhere, maybe.
Yeah, probably. It's like when we had our Essen episode, there'll be lots of clattering around and
recorded on the ferry home. Thank you for listening and tune in for our next podcast episode live from the UK GE somewhere and around there. If you would like to join in on it, then let me know by contacting me from any of our social media sites. And if you see us at the show, then don't be scared to say hello to us. We don't bite. Big thanks to Meeple's Corners for sponsoring the show. And check out the show notes for details where you can find our Facebook page, our Twitter accounts, and also the Guild, where you can come and chat to us. My name is Joel Wright, the host and editor of the show, and you can find me at Depressed Monkey or Devon Dice UK. Sam was also on here, and you can find him at Spoon of Milk. Lewis was another co-host, and you can find him at the_brewery tour. And not forgetting our special guest of the episode, Peter Muller from Tabletop Together at Tab Tog. This has been another excellent Devon Dice podcast, and remember, we will see you at the UK Games Expo NEC. Goodbye and thank you.
Cool. Anyway, we'll let you go, Pia.
All right.
Sorry, mate.
Nice talking to you guys.
Great to chat to you, mate. It'll be great to catch you at the UK Gamers Expo.
For sure. We should definitely catch a beer in a game or something.
Definitely.
Or fly a spaceship or whatever.
All of the above.
All of the above.
Awesome.